Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg. Hello.
WTF.
Yeah, we're going to get into some of the announcements from Dodge.
That's how you ought to advertise this episode.
Excuse me, I'm choking over here. I got to get some water, but... Yeah, we were
it's a passionate subject, right? So you're going to get passionate answers. And I'm telling you right now, the boards are lit up. I'm not that board guy, but I mean, you just have to imagine.
Yeah.
What's going on? What are we talking about, people? Take three guesses.
Dodge made the big announcement, as you guys have, if you've been on social media for even a millisecond, you've seen it everywhere. Dodge's announcement about the Charger and the various trim levels and models that are going to be out there. Let me see if I can. And those for you guys that are on YouTube, I'll try to share some images and stuff while we're getting into this as well.
I have to take a 15-second break here. Hold on. It's my son.
All right, so Dodge's big announcement is the Dodge Charger, and the Dodge Charger is going to be available in both gas and electric versions.
Eventually, right. Don't make that statement unless you add eventually to it, because then everybody's going to go, oh, shit, the thing looks kind of cool, and they got a gas option. Let's go get one. Well,
right, so it's launching
a year for that.
It's launching with the electric version and a two-door version. And then there's going to be four-door versions, and there's going to be gas engine versions next year. And as we were saying, if you're looking at it, if you're watching this on YouTube, we'll put some of the images and stuff up there as well, so you can kind of see what's going on as we talk about this. So, I don't know. It's kind of interesting that, first let's get into some of the specs on these cars, and then we'll figure out, does this sound interesting to you guys? Do these sound like cool cars to you? And then we'll figure out like sort of what the motivation here was.
Okay. But initially, after seeing the pictures, what a feeling does it evoke to you? Right. Does it carry on the tradition? Is it something? What is it?
Better than I thought. It's not a huge departure from what's currently out there. One of the features that I do kind of like is I see so many of the EVs on the road, and it has this odd flat face to it, and there's no grill to it. And for Dodge to do this R-bar, or whatever they're calling it, this sort of vented version of the grill on the EV car, and then a traditional grill on the gas engine car, that to me, I do find kind of interesting, because it gives it kind of this cool grill type look in the front. But it has to be, listen, if nobody ever brought up EV and they said, this is it, this is the 2025 completely redesigned Charger, V8, supercharged, massive tire package, front and rear, massive brakes, you'd probably look at the design and go, okay, yeah, it's not a huge departure from what it was, right?
No, I mean, it's got elements for sure. And I'm not going to lie, but there are parts of it that are sexier than shit, I believe.
Yeah, but I think so. I think so, too. I think it's kind of a cool looking car, but I'd really like to see it in person, because one of the things we're going to talk about is the size of the car.
How about the weight? Does the size include the weight?
Yes, the size, the weight, and some of the features on it. But so the way this is going to break down is the Dodge Charger Daytona. The Daytona cars will be the EVs, and the six-pack cars, the Dodge Charger six-packs, will be the gas engine cars. And why are they doing it that way? Because there's no more V8 engine. There's going to be an inline six. and they're playing with the old name six pack. So and there's going to be a couple of gaps.
Everyone's going to sound like a Supra.
Potentially. Let's see if they can kind of dial that in, because it is an inline six, which is interesting. And they make power with it, though. So the horsepower might not necessarily be the issue here. So now the Dodge Daytona is going to have a Scat Pack and an RT. So you're going to have an electric vehicle with a potentially two-door and four-door versions. And then you're going to have the RT base version and the Scat Pack higher horsepower version. And it's going to be all-wheel drive. Now, it's going to get more complicated from there. So
as if that diving board wasn't complicated enough.
Yes. So what happens is the base RT is 456 horsepower. And then it has this power shot mode that's a button on the steering wheel that is kind of like a nitrous button. It gives you 40 extra horsepower for 15 seconds. And you can in limited intervals. And I don't.
It's like Formula One.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's like the push to pass button, you know, in IndyCar and stuff. So it's similar to that. So, now the Scat Pack version, the Scat Pack version is essentially the same. It's 550. Here, this is how it breaks down. It's 550 horsepower all the time. It's 590 horsepower with the power shot button. But then the initial EVs, right? This is what we were talking about before, the direct connection kit. So the direct connection kit is
keep the money rolling.
Yeah, is the subscription based. And I guess it's subscription based. I guess it could be a one-time purchase. I don't know for sure, but I don't know that they even said that. But you go to direct connection and then you buy the add-on power-up kit. You're basically buying a tune with it. And the tune for the Scat Pack adds 80 horsepower. And this is why you're reading everything saying that the highest horsepower version is 670 horsepower. Yes, it is 670 horsepower. So the very first Daytona Scat Packs, the EVs that come off the line this first year, will include the direct connection upgrade. Next year, it'll be an option that you pay for. And like I said, I don't know if that's subscription or if it's a one-time fee, but all in, you're 670 horsepower on the highest horsepower version, and you're all-wheel drive, and you're 0 to 60 in 3.3 seconds. They say it runs 1150s in the quarter mile. And that will get you a range of about 260 miles. Now, the lesser horsepower version, the RT, will be
350.
Yeah, it's well, the range is, was it 320? But when you get the base model with the power shot button and the the direct connection upgrade kit, you're all in at 496 horsepower, and you're 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds, quarter mile in 13.1, which is still fast. Yeah, so there's kind of a lot to unpack there. This is just on the EV side, and they're going to be all-wheel drive. They're dual motors, but there's a motor on the front and the rear, and the shift connect, the shifter knob, basically, however they're going to handle it in this car, is going to have a drift mode and a donut mode. And so you can, they said there is torque vectoring. They didn't really quite break it down completely what that means. On the EV, it seems to make a little bit more sense. But for the gas engine versions that we'll get into, I don't know how much power is going to be able to put to the rear. Can they put all of it there? Did they put 80, 90% there? I don't know. But on the EV version, you should be able to control that. So you can get a lot of power to the rear wheels when you need it, if you're going to do something like their donut mode or whatever. Now, here's the other thing. So as we start to look at these cars, the way we understand it in its longest form, the Dodge Charger Daytona is 206.6 inches long. That's 5 inches longer than the four-door Charger Hellcat that you're driving around now, right? So that's a bigger car. The wheelbase is more than an inch longer. So the car overall is bigger, but then the wheelbase is just an inch bigger. And then it's 79.8 inches wide. The Daytona Coupe is 1.5 inches wider than the current wide body Chargers. So this
That's all good stuff.
It's a big car for sure. Yeah. Now, this is kind of interesting because the Charger and the Challenger, especially when compared to the other pony cars, always felt a little big because they're that design, that kind of retro design. To get those proportions right, you kind of need to make it puffy. You needed to kind of make it a little bit bigger. But now they seem to kind of dial in the lines a little bit more, but it's going to be a bigger car for sure. Now, what that also means is it's going to be a roomier car all around, both the two-door and the four-door. They're saying the two-door cars have more room in them than the current Mustangs do. It's pretty usable. And they are hatchbacks. It kind of looks cool. It looks kind of like a conventional trunk, but having that hatchback option and fold down seats means you can carry quite a bit of gear in it, even in the two-door model.
Its size is a huge plus. I mean, anytime you're making a badass vehicle with that lineage larger, I mean, you're catering to the crowd. That's what we want.
Now,
we don't want it at the expense of a 5,800 pound car.
But, right. You know. Yeah. 5,900 pound car. Okay. So the interior.
What's your truck weight?
About 7,000 pounds. Yeah. And then what is my Mach 1 weigh? Maybe 3,900. I don't really recall. I think it's under four.
Tesla's what? 5,400 pounds, something like that.
It's,
depend on the mod. I don't know. Just guessing.
Yeah. It's heavy. Now, they want to make sure they're going after that performance customer again. This is what we were talking about before. Excuse me. Are they alienating the customer or not? And they're trying not to, right? So it comes standard on 18-inch wheels. You can get the bigger wheel and tire package on it. The standard tire on the RT is a 275 series tire on all four corners. And then the higher horsepower version stepped up to like a 305 and a 315 tire package.
I thought they were 325s. I thought it was some ridiculous size.
Yeah, and
that caught my eye. You know, little things like that are going to pay homage to the models prior, right? But
yeah,
you know, at the end of the day, what feeling did it evoke? What do the purists think about what is happening? The fact that a full EV is what they're coming out with first, and like I said before, we really don't know anything, right? We can conjecture. And we have people on the inside. Obviously, I work a little bit with Dodge. You work a lot with Ford. And, you know, we hear things, but we don't know exactly what's going on in the background. I mean, you see what Ford and GM have done with the continuation of the V8 program, and they've professed it to be, you know, the case, but Dodge completely abandoned it. Well, did they? Well, nobody knows with those guys. Is there a different Hemi being produced? I mean, I don't know. Who knows? But the fact is that with the, you know, we've talked about this EV space for a long time, and neither one of us are huge fans of it by any, to put it mildly. And as the purists that we are, and as a person who is a Mopar guy and who represents the brand to the nth degree. We always want bigger is better and, you know, the next best thing. And I think the realization that electric is not the next best thing by any stretch of the imagination has come to the reality and how our manufacturers dealing with it, right? And this launch yesterday was kind of, I mean, for me personally, I mean, it evoked a lot of different feelings, not all of them good, but we are at the cusp of change, right? And it's cyclical, you know, the markets get it from time to time and you have to adapt and overcome. But do you fully invest in something that's not proven? Well, you know, us purists have hoped that they don't throw all of their eggs in one basket, right? And things are going on behind the scenes that will directly cater to us who we look at what these look at the cars at Barrett. Look at my cars at Barrett. Look at the market beforehand. Look at the internet. Do you think that all the people that have been bitching and moaning about these cars are really happy right now after what they saw yesterday? And granted, that's not everybody, but that's the vocal percentage of people that use social media as a tool. And how much do you cater to them? How much do they represent? Well, go to auctions, go to SEMA and hear what people say. That's all. So I always hope for something, you know, better on the horizon. And there are elements of the Daytona that I love that they came out with yesterday. You know, it's a much better version of a concept car than we all thought was going to come out.
Yeah,
I believe I can say that as a whole. But
it is kind of and I agree with you in this. Now, there's not going to be a V8, certainly not anytime soon that they've mentioned. They have the gas engines. They have the inline six, the Hurricane inline six, which will make some power. And there's going to be a couple of options there as well. I possibly it's going to be an all wheel drive version of that as well. I think that was kind of the plan is a rear wheel drive and an all wheel drive. We'll see how that breaks down with between the two door and the four door. Maybe they have thoughts on how that's going to happen. But yes, they were closing the book on the gas engine Charger and Challenger, and they brought us the concept car, which we saw at SEMA, we saw at LA Auto Show. And then the big announcement now saying they're going to have gas engine options next year. Was that always the plan, like you're saying, or was there some backtrack? Was there...
I think there had to be a percentage response of backtrack. There had to be a percentage of backtrack in every manufacturer. But my question
I agree.
What were they doing in the meantime when they were full steam ahead? How much were they devoting to, you know, internal combustion engines still with the hopes or with the knowledge that it's a possibility that this next best thing ain't the next best thing?
And I'd like to... These are some good questions for Dodge as well. We're going to have to bring somebody on, and I think we'll reach out to somebody possibly.
Russell, I hope you're not watching this because we're going to grill you.
Yeah, I want to talk to Mark Trostel and see if he's got thoughts on this. Because, listen, one of the questions I have, of course, is going to be, you know, you're looking at this EV platform, and this is supposed to be a clean sheet of paper, ground up build, a design for this car, which means they don't have to retrofit a gas engine platform, for example, like my Ford Lightning truck, the new Lightning. Sure,
it's a ground up
design. Yeah,
he's not going to tell you,
but
because that would be an admission of guilt.
Well, I mean,
right?
I guess, but there's not really that much harm in it. They can go, this is what we're doing. We're doing a gas engine version. We're doing an EV version, because
there wasn't harm with him going on stage with us either, right?
Right. Yeah, because if look, a lot of this feedback could have come from when they first launched the Banshee with the concept car. And what did people start to say? And how much time did they have to rethink what they were doing? Is the gas engine version going to be built somehow on this platform that they've been developing for the EV car? I'm not quite sure how. Or are they going to take the existing platform that we've seen for a long time now, years and years and years now, kind of rebody it, freshen it up, put the new interior in it, put the six cylinder in it? Is there something there? I want to know how much difference there's going to be between the EV and the gas engine vehicle as far as just the base platform. And it's not like we're trying to call them out on something, but for example, are there going to be
that's,
any?
That's the only thing people are interested in after what was right. I mean, that's your first question. And it has to do with internal combustion engines. I think
it's definitely by design that the EV versions are going to be higher horsepower and the performance pinnacle compared to the gas engine versions, because they couldn't have led us over the past, I don't know how many months, 2 years, whatever, of EV, we'll figure it out. We'll bring you the brotherhood of muscle with an EV car. We'll make it work. But can they make it work with an EV car? And if they launched the gas engine cars and the EV cars and they said, oh, the EV is going to be 550 horsepower, but the gas engine car is going to be 700. So then they wouldn't sell a single EV, would they?
Well, no question.
Not to this audience.
Yeah.
But if you want the horsepower, you want the performance, they're saying EV is going to be where you get it. You're not going to get the eight cylinder. I agree with you. If they had the eight cylinder as an option instead of the inline six, I don't know that there's going to be a lot of attraction for the EV. But now you're going, well, you get the six cylinder, and I'm sure the aftermarket will figure out ways to modify it and get some more power out of it. But you're going to have to do quite a bit to get it up to that EV performance benchmark, right? So
it's marketing.
Yeah. And so they wanted to position the EV cars a noticeable jump between, you know, the gas engine cars and there. Now, as you start to dig into this car a little bit more, they made some massive upgrades to the interior. It looks a lot nicer. And as we see it in the photos, you see the touchscreen and you see the digital dash and you see what's, you know, new steering wheel controls, and it has the power shot button on the steering wheel control. But what we really can't gauge in the photos, of course, is the size and the roominess of the vehicle. We can just crunch the numbers and go, hey, it's longer, it's wider, it's bigger overall, it's a hatchback. You know, it's once you get into it, as you're saying, as a big guy with broad shoulders, you want a little bit more room in the vehicle. And there are just going to be some people going, well, the two-door version is still a sports car, a muscle car, and maybe it shouldn't keep getting bigger. Maybe they should reduce weight. Where I think it's going to become more relevant is on the EV, we know it's going to be heavy and it's going to be big and it's got a huge battery. And that's the MO of EVs. But the gas engine version,
they go through existing guardrails.
Yeah, right. But the gas engine version, we were thinking smaller, lighter weight. And I guess it's lighter weight with the inline six, but I really don't know how it's going to compare to the V8 cars, but the V8 cars are already getting pretty heavy as they were. So, but it is a bigger car. So I don't know, is the inline six car going to be a 4,500 pound car? And then the EVs are going to be 5,900 pounds.
They can't do that, because then they cut their nose off to spite themselves.
You know, now this isn't to say we won't get future versions like the Banshee or some SRT version, because the battery technology that they're using here is not the 800 volt architecture that they were talking about before with the concept car. So it is a massive battery. It's over 100 kilowatt size battery, and that's how they're getting you even the 260 miles of range on the Daytona Scat Pack version. With 670 horsepower and huge 300 plus millimeter tires all around and massive 16-inch brakes and six-piston Brembos in the front, four-piston in the rear. Like, these are massive specs that we want from our, our Hellcat, from our muscle cars, and they're putting them all onto the EV. So that's going to be interesting. And you're right, it has a lot of weight to stop. But we've got the motors, we've got the electric motors to help that. So it's not quite the same. Listen, if the gas engine version weighs 5,000 pounds, then, and there's no electric motors, no regen braking, none of that, then it's not going to perform as well as you hope. But if they get that down to, the low 4,000 range, which is still heavy, but if they get it down to that range and still equip it with the massive brakes and the good horsepower, then you're going to have kind of what you have now. You're going to have maybe a little bit better version of what you have now.
Not going to scoff at that.
But if they, it, you know, in a year or so from now, when they show us in person the gas engine vehicles, it'll be interesting if they will also show us the highest horsepower version or the SRT version or Banshee version of the EV. Will it be 700 plus horsepower? Will it have the 800 volt architecture? Will it have faster charging, more range, and even more horsepower? Will they bring us a car that does 0 to 60 under 3 seconds? Because they're going to want to bring us some sort of Hellcat version. Otherwise, like you said, they're kind of shitting on their audience.
Yeah, I mean, but Stellantis took over, right? And so is this a march in a different direction, right? So to answer your question, is Dodge a year from now going to come out with these unbelievable packages on their EV? As a purist, you would go, hell yeah, they are. Absolutely. But in all honesty, we're in a day and age where I don't know. I don't know the answer to that anymore.
Well,
That's the scary part as a Mopar guy. That's
yeah.
all. And it's not a dig on them. It's just the honest answer I can give you, because 5 years ago, I knew that they were always going to up themselves, right? And I knew that that was not a concern, but a priority, because that was their niche.
Yeah.
That was their brand, right? So in the launch of this Daytona, you see them harking back on the Dodge brothers, and we're carrying on a tradition that, yes, it's something new, but this is where we've got to go. I get that, but I it's a it's a
I
it, it's a different it's a differing time, in that I'm not completely positive to answer the question, because I almost did. You're like, yeah, are they going to come? Sure as shit they are, but it's
we don't
like,
know.
now I really don't know. That's all.
Well, I when they were talking about the direct connection upgrade that the EVs come with initially, then you buy on later, that does hint to direct connection or Mopar or something on the aftermarket side,
Well, 1,000%, and they're going to
leaning
push
into
it
the
from
car, right?
within. Yeah, they're
Yeah.
going to push it from within, because they're not going to watch. They're not going to build up direct connection and then watch it completely fail, because it's their baby, right? And it's like Ford's division, Ford Racing, or whatever
Yeah,
it is,
Ford Performance.
Ford Performance, right? So it's the same kind of thing. So it's their ability to still keep a hand on the consumer and have the consumer have them as the only resource to get what they want, right? As opposed to the consumer going in and plugging a computer in and breaking into the PCM,
Right,
because the
because when
ability
we
to do that is only for a certain amount of people, and they'll do it real quickly.
they will. The issue that we had was, like I was saying, when I would talk to a bunch of the aftermarket companies at the SEMA event, was they were like, yeah, we can tune your EV, but as soon as there's an over-the-air update, it probably will just revert back to whatever it was. And this brings up the App Store, right? Like with Apple and Google and the App Store. And direct connection, as we were saying, is essentially going to become an App Store as well. And that's exactly what they're just hinting at. They're going, hey, we've got this subscription. They're saying the cars are going to be delivered with that amount of power. Are you going to pay to unlock that power?
Exactly.
Right? And I don't It's fine. I don't hate it because you kind of have to listen, you open up your aftermarket parts catalog from Ford or GM or Dodge anyway and going, I'm gonna buy the supercharger kit or I'm gonna buy the big brake kit or the exhaust or whatever. So if you have an EV and then you open up the catalog and there's an 80 horsepower tune available, well, sign me up. I'll take it. Especially if I'm buying something like a charger, like a, if I'm buying an EV charger and somebody said there's a horsepower upgrade, then yes. If I was buying the Kia EV9, you know, three row SUV, I'm not buying it for the performance, right? I'm not that audience like you're
Absolutely.
talking about is
And that's what they're banking, right?
yes. Dodge is going to have, and Stellantis as a whole is going to have plenty of other products, EV products and baby gas engine products that don't have to cater to the performance enthusiasts. And that's
No question,
what
yeah.
they're trying to do here. I we know that a lot of EVs have very impressive performance numbers. And I think when someone like Edmunds gets their hands on it and throws it on the test track, this Charger Daytona, I think we're going to see some impressive numbers. And I think you're going to see an EV muscle car with an incredible amount of grip given its weight, because nobody out there is really doing the huge wheel and tire package and big brake package. You know, they're taking that muscle car package and putting it onto an EV. And yes, it's
That's
kind of
exciting.
interesting. From Dodge's point of view, and I'm sure there's a struggle internally. There's two sides of the fence. There's a struggle internally. Certainly people that have worked on the muscle car side of things and made it their baby, guys like Kaniskis and Trosel and Gilles and for them to go, we don't get to make a muscle car anymore. I think that's
It's a
taking away too
conundrum,
much
that's for sure.
from them and the brand. So I think it'll be kind of interesting to see how these cars perform, see how they drive. But yes, for them to make their announcement and go, we've got massive, you know, 305 tires on the front of this thing. I go, well, that's not very EV friendly, is it? Because the amount of drag and everything, and honestly, for them to go, we're going to get 260 miles of range out of it. And now they did the hatchback version as well, because they also said you can fit a set of wheels and tires in the back. So it's kind of interesting. Do you go, oh, I'm just going to go and buy myself a set of four, you know, 225 series, you know, 70,000 mile highway compound tires, put it on this car, see if I can get 320 miles of range out of it, and then open the trunk and pull out my big set, you know, and hit the track and then drive home, you know, like if you had
That's
a
how they're catering to that market, I guess,
you know, it's kind of interesting is when you guys got your demons, like your 170 and the other demon, you get the big crate and you get the drag slicks and, you know, the drag radials and stuff in it. It'd be funny if these cars came with the crate, but it was
right?
opposite. It had the highway kit in it. You open the crate, it's got a couple of set of skinny highway wheels in
See, that's a great
it.
touch. That'd be a great
That
freaking touch.
would be funny. I think that would be fantastic to do and go, listen, you know, to go from here to Willow Springs,
I'd use them.
you know, you just jack up the car, put the skinny wheels and tire package on there, bring your other, put your big ones in the trunk and drive to the track,
It's a
swap the
great
wheels.
idea.
And then, you know, listen, if you said I'm going to pick up an extra 50 miles of range on my road trip because I swapped the wheels, that
I'd
would
do
be,
it, like I said.
I would, that would be a fun test to do. I would be down for that completely. To have that car here and to be able to have all the performance that it claims to have, and then go, oh shit, we got to go do an event in Vegas. I'm going to swap the wheel and tire package and I'm going to get to Vegas on a single run and then charge it there and come back. And
I
then
think you should do it.
I think it would be fun to do. We got to reach out to Dodge. Dodge, when you're ready, send us one of these cars to test for a week and We'll take it to Vegas and back. And also, we're going to need some wheels and tires from somebody else out there,
Exactly.
even just temporarily. But anyway, overall feeling is we're going to have an interesting EV. We're going to have gas engine versions. We can dig more into, how creative the aftermarket's going to be able to get with the six cylinder cars. Honestly, because the engine that's out, the Hurricane engine, the inline six, I don't know if guys out there like Mario over at Gearheads is already messing around with those engines in some other capacity. Is he getting big power out of them? It'd be an interesting question. We should hit him up as well and go, hey, what do you think as a tuner, as one of the more popular, one of the busiest tuners of Dodge products out there. What is
He'd be a great one to talk to.
his take on the EV versus the gas engine, and what kind of potential? Listen, maybe for him, he's going to go, I don't even care about the EV. That's not my business. It sounds like a cool product, but I'm probably never even going to see one in person. And he
Well,
goes, just,
he's had
but
Teslas in the shop and everything.
yeah.
He's done a bunch of EV stuff.
So I think we should maybe make a plan for that at some point. Is let's see if we can get someone on Dodge. I want to pick their brain a little bit, and then let's get someone from the aftermarket like Mario and pick his brain a little bit on that. So we've definitely got more to talk about on with these cars, but I think we're going to wrap it up for today so we can
So I can go let the kangaroo out and go search for our capybara.
yeah, you've got
To be continued.
You've got some things
Jesus
there.
Christ.
Yes, some animals are escaping, and there's a hunt
So I had to
happening.
get up this morning and make a call to the police department and make sure that the people on the specific road that my wife was on hunting our capybara this morning made sure that they knew that she was hunting an animal and not a human. So.
Yes, but she wants to bring it home, so it's not like she's out there
Well, yeah.
with a bazooka. China.
No, no, no. I can attest to the fact that it sucks. And yeah, because I did it on Sunday. It took a number of hours of my day, but I would not have done anything else more entertaining than try to capture a capybara.
Well, maybe we should try to figure out how they're getting out.
I walked the fence. I redid part of the fence. I put boulders up where I thought that it crawled under, and so hopefully it fell.
Yeah.
But to be
All right. Thanks, buddy. I'll let you get to it, and we'll catch up next week. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
and your EV plugged in as long as possible.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com, and don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.